The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee, but he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him, and 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent. They had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. I once heard the story of a priest who serves in the Midwest. He was newly ordained, and in his first parish, I don't know that this was the first Sunday in which he celebrated, but it was close to the first, and after Mass, someone, no doubt wanting to create a scene, I guess, came up to him and just berated him for his homily. "You did not do your job. I didn't feel uplifted. I felt guilty." Well, he called a friend of his later, a personal friend of mine, who told me this story. And it was, of course, you know, newly ordained, welcome to the priesthood. And he asked him, he said, "Well, what was the reading for that Sunday that you preached on?" Of course, he knew, but because we all read the same readings everywhere. And he said, "Here's what the homily was, and here's what the reading was based on." To which my friend said, "Congratulations, you did your job." Some of you may remember the classic movie, The Treasure of the Sierra Madre, with Humphrey Bogart. And a character, the old prospector, played by Walter Huston, who won the Oscar for that role, as he's making his exit from the film, his last scene as he says farewell to his partner, Curtin, he's going to return to a village of natives, kind of half Indian, half Mexican, a very simple village that he had done a service to and who were very grateful that for a time they pampered him and took care of him and fed him, and in gratitude for the service that he did in helping a child they thought had drowned revive. And so he's through with prospecting, especially having lost the gold that they had just found. And he decides he's going to go back to that village and retire there. And he says, "When you think about it, it really won't be that bad." And it's a quote that has always stuck with me. He says, "I'll be worshipped and fed and treated like a king for telling people things they want to hear." You look at that and compare it to today's first reading. Here's an old man who's expecting he'll be treated like a high priest, divine, maybe like a king, because he just tells the people what they want to hear, and they remember the service that he did, and they pamper him, and they'll take care of him, and he'll retire, and the presumption is he'll probably die there, and the people will treat him with great honor. But then we have in the Book of Wisdom, and we really don't think much of the wisdom literature in the Bible. There aren't that many books of them, but one of them is the Book of Wisdom itself, and it speaks of how we understand the just man. What is the just man? Is he a man who tells us what we want to hear and we think very highly of him? Or is he the one described in the first reading today? Let us beset the just man because he is obnoxious to us. He sets himself against our doings and reproaches us for transgressions of the law. Now, it's often interesting, you know, what is every now and again the expectation of religion in general, Christianity and Catholicism in particular, and especially the ministers of that, or just anyone who professes that faith and seeks to spread it? What is usually the expectation? What do they want? They want warm fuzzies and affirmation. They want uplifting feelings. They want to feel good. just like that one parishioner who came to that young priest and said, I come to Mass to be comforted, and you didn't comfort me. But wisdom tells us that the just man is not comforting. The just man is obnoxious. The just man sets himself against our ways. And why? It gives a reason. He doesn't just do it in a vacuum. He doesn't just do it because he's a pain in the neck and likes being one. It says he reproaches us for transgressions of the law and charges us with violations of our training. In other words, the just man is always calling us to greater observances of the law. He doesn't give us excuses, but gives us admonitions. He gives us instruction. And sometimes it can be very uplifting. It's affirming when we see, yes, we're on the right path. Even Jesus every now and again says, you are not far from the kingdom of heaven. Note, he never actually says you've gotten there. Not once. Well, once maybe when he said, today you will be with me in paradise. But that was to another man being crucified, and he didn't have much more he could do before he died. But to everyone else, Jesus will say, you are not far from the kingdom of heaven. But he never actually says, you're there. But we also see in the example of Jesus, he was obnoxious. And who was he obnoxious to? Obnoxious to the people who violated the law. Starting with the Pharisees, who violated their own duties as shepherds. At one point he says, you pile up heavy burdens on everyone else's back, and you don't lift a finger to help them. Well, what's he criticizing? He's not criticizing the heavy burdens. Just open up the law in the Bible. And there is a lot of standards, even for us as Catholics, many, many high standards that we live. And it's one thing to constantly point to people everything that they're doing wrong and reminding them of every piece of minutiae they have to follow if they're going to be pleasing to God. And then there is being of encouragement to them, remembering that we all walk this journey together, that we're all not all magistrates, but we're shepherds, fellow followers of Christ, to encourage one another. That's why we don't live in a vacuum. We come together as a community of faith to get that encouragement and that nourishment from one another. But Jesus was obnoxious to those, starting with the leaders, but then to others as well, for where they were lacking, for where they were lacking. And in times where it was clearly obvious he was being asked a question from someone hoping that they would get affirmation, Jesus never gives that to them. And one can perhaps feel the irritation in that, because Jesus' goal is not to uplift us, it's to get us to heaven. It's not to affirm us, least of all in our sinfulness, but to call us to those higher standards. And there's where it says the just man sets himself against our doings. And what are the doings? They're transgressions of the law and violations of their training. So what do they want to do? They want to set themselves upon them. They want to torture and put the just one to the test, and then see just how just he is, and then see just how much God will come to his rescue. And Jesus personifies that just man that wisdom speaks of in the Book of Wisdom. The just man who is obnoxious to us, who the unjust put to death. And we know and believe that God did take care of him. Well, we're called to the same thing, whether we're preachers of the Word of God. I mean, you know, we're not necessarily here to make every homily hellfire and brimstone and remind you of all of what horrendous sinners you all are. But at the same time, that's one extreme. At the same time, the job of preachers is not necessarily to do nothing but give people comfort and uplifting, warm, bubbly feelings. But all of us, starting with us as preachers, to encourage and remind and call people to ongoing conversion, which when we are not living fully that gospel, when there are violations, and let's face it, we're sinners, there are going to be those times, it will be a message that is obnoxious to us. Case in point, it's not just us preachers that are called to that, but anyone who's called to be a parent of children. Jesus in today's gospel says, whoever welcomes a child such as this welcomes me and welcomes the one who sent me. Well, Jesus perhaps could relate. After all, Jesus himself was a child. He was born a child. And he was raised by parents to be the good Jewish young man that he was, who eventually came to understand his role as Messiah and Son of God and be the Messiah that he was. But do you think Mary and Joseph really did nothing but raise him with warm, bubbly feelings? I mean, just bear in mind, he was age 12. That's a preteen when he ran away from them in the most crowded city in the region at the most crowded time of the year. I always like to say, the reason we don't hear anything of Jesus after that until he was 30 is probably because he was grounded from the time he was 12. And imagine, I mean, we love and we admire Mary and Joseph, but I mean, can you imagine how hard it must have been raising a child who thinks he's the Son of God? I'm sure no one here has ever had that experience, have you? And in this case, he was the Son of God. We think of Mary, the gentle virgin, but she had to have been a very strong-willed woman, and Joseph, a very strong-willed man. Not that Jesus was defiant, obviously, he never sinned, but how do you raise someone like that to prepare them for such a great destiny? And no doubt it wasn't always a bed of roses, and even Jesus had to be taught. He went to synagogue. He learned the law. He was raised like any of us were in all things except sin. And to anyone who is a parent of children, hopefully you know your job is not to always be uplifting. Time and again, I've had people talk to me as a priest, and sometimes they wonder if they've committed a sin or not. And they see they yelled at their child. And I want to say, well, sometimes that's your prerogative to do so. They said, well, I just felt so badly afterwards. I said, well, your child is disobeying. Your child is being defiant. It gets to the point where you have to really remain firm and the disciplinarian. It doesn't necessarily lend itself to having good feelings at the end. But sometimes people do feel that way, that it has to be nothing but uplifting thing. I think the new term people are calling it now are lawnmower parents, who protect their children from anything negative whatsoever. But at the same time, you know, some of you may know, spoiled children think theirs are the best parents in the world. With exceptions, obviously. Sometimes spoiled children are always berating their parents for how horrible they are, hoping to play on the guilt. But we all know that if receiving a child is not always a warm bed of roses, that there are challenges to raising children and duties that parents have that don't always result in uplifting feelings. There's the discipline, there's the teaching, there's the correcting. And sometimes children might think of parents that they are obnoxious. Children, look at me. Don't look at your parents as I'm saying that. You know. And it's the same with anyone who is called to be a shepherd of souls, anyone who's called to be someone who raises children, anyone who's called to instruct people in the way of God. And the Book of Wisdom kind of puts sometimes the gospel does tell us things that are very awkward and very difficult to hear. Sometimes the just one is someone very obnoxious, so much so that people want to set themselves against them, destroy their credibility, because they're not saying things that we want to hear. But we see in the example of Christ, who says, welcome the children. We see it in the duty of parents to raise children, even teachers in teaching children. We see it in anyone who is called in any way to be a shepherd of souls, that being truly a just person does not necessarily mean that we only say things people want to hear. And when we hear something challenging from anyone, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're wrong, because sometimes the just one is obnoxious to us. But there's where we're called for God's grace of wisdom, in that in our ongoing lives of ongoing conversion, every now and again, we hear something that stirs us up. We hear something that makes us uncomfortable. We hear something that is obnoxious to us. And we are called to continually examine our lives, to allow ourselves to be shepherded by Christ, who is the just one above all just ones, by our teachers, our parents, our superiors, so that we can recognize those moments when we are being challenged, not just uplifted. Uplifted when we recognize the grace of God that is enabling us to live a life we're called to live, and the challenge to ongoing conversion as we are called to constantly change our lives, to adjust our way of doing things, to recognize our transgressions, to come before God in sorrow and remorse and in confession and reconciliation, so that ultimately we can have our eyes fixed on that one true just man, Jesus Christ, in his teachings that instruct us and in his admonitions to call us to greater living of the gospel, so that we can truly receive that final comfort in knowing that we are constantly growing in the standards that Christ has given us to live, making use of the grace of God to live as the human beings Jesus created us to live, so that we may imitate that just man above all just men.